Happy Monday, ride or dies. I just wanted to hop on here quick. We don't have an official intro for you this week, but the truth is, with today's episode, we figured there was really no need to hear from us today. We were just going to let this episode speak for itself, which it definitely does. With today's episode, it's a little bit longer. Thank you so much to Shannon Kerr, who really made this happen for us. And without her, it probably couldn't have happened because our guest today is from Brazil. And he speaks Portuguese. So Shannon, you'll hear on here, she translates for us. It makes for a little bit of a longer episode for our only English-speaking listeners, but we do know that there is some listeners in Brazil who are probably very excited to hear a little bit more about DCO's backstory and program. So we left it all in there. Most podcast apps do have the fast forward button. So if you find yourself just wanting to skip over some of the translation after a while, you can probably just do it that way. And without further ado, let's get into this episode with none other than the Standard Pattern world record holder with a time of 16.213. It was ran just this year in 2022, but actually in 2015, our guest broke the world record that year too. This man has won every Brazilian barrel racing title in every division that there was to win growing up through the ranks in barrel racing. Now he holds the world record overall and world record ran with a stallion. He's made hundreds of 16-second runs, and I have a feeling it's not going to stop here. Please welcome Desio Talon. Hello.
Hello. Can you hear us now?
Yes,
yes, working we're golden.
So how goes it in Brazil, and what were you guys up to today?
Well, we are at what's called the ABQM Congress. It would be equivalent to like the A2HA Congress. So there's barrels, roping, reining, halter, all kinds of events.
That's really cool.
Oh, but thank you so much for coming on to chat with us tonight, DCO. We are really looking forward to this unique podcast. And thank you so much, Shannon, for translating for us and making it happen.
Oh, I'm so excited. And our listeners are super pumped, excited. Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like from the States, from Canada, from Brazil, everywhere. So yeah. That's exciting.
Okay. Let me tell him what you all just said real quick.
Okay.
Que tem muito gente no mundo tudo que quer escutar sua entrevista.
Eu que agradeço a oportunidade de estar aqui contando um pouquinho do que a gente faz no Brasil, do nosso dia a dia. Para mim é o maior prazer estar aqui tendo essa oportunidade de divulgar para outros países, já que a gente vai muito para lá, né? E poucos vêm para cá conhecer um pouco das nossas histórias. Então é muito gratificante ter a oportunidade de contar um pouquinho da nossa.
So he said he really appreciates this opportunity because a lot of Brazilians have gone to USA, but not many, you know, North Americans come to Brazil. And just mm-hmm. to have this opportunity to tell you guys about himself, his training, the sports here, he's extremely grateful for this opportunity. Okay, well, we have got our coffee. I hope it's good.
Yeah, ela quer que eu conte um pouquinho quem que é o Décio, como ele começou.
Yeah. So he would like to know if you guys would like to know a little bit about him, just real quick.
Yes,
yeah, I'd love to.
You guys have asked me that, but he would like to talk a little bit about himself.
Yeah, yes.
And just let my machine stop. Sorry, guys. I should have done that before we started.
No
worries. I didn't think you would drink coffee with me. Because he was like, oh, you have a coffee pot. And I was like, well, yeah, let's have some coffee.
What? I'm curious, what do you guys put in your coffee down there? Do you drink it black or do you put a little spiked cream?
He and I drink it black, but most people drink it pretty sweet.
Strong, but yeah.
He and I drink it black.
Nice.
The coffee's okay, probably
okay, so what would you like? He would like to just talk a little bit about himself, mm-hmm. explain to you all who he is and why we chose him, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be perfect.
Tell us his story.
Okay. All right. Pode falar.
Meu nome é Décio Talon. Eu sou competidor e treinador de três tambores desde os 8 anos de idade.
Uhum.
Eu passei a minha vida inteira dedicado aos três tambores. É a única coisa que eu me dediquei, além dos estudos. Eu sou formado em Direito também. Mas a minha vida inteira foi dedicada à modalidade. Desde que eu conheci a modalidade, foi algo que me apaixonei.
Qual idade você conheceu?
Eu conheci com 8 anos de idade.
Com 8 anos.
É. E desde então, eu sou competidor e treinador no Brasil desde os 10 anos no quarto de milha. Eu comecei numa escolinha do Vaguinho.
Uhum.
E eu passei por todas as categorias de base. Jovem A até 11 anos, jovem B até 12 anos, 12 a 14, jovem C de 16 a 18 anos, amador e para as categorias profissionais. E eu sou o único cavaleiro do Brasil que ganhou todos os títulos nacionais em todas as categorias da BQM. Congresso Nacional, Copa dos Campeões.
Deixa eu falar.
Desde da jovem A até as categorias profissionais.
Okay, so he learned about barrel racing when he was 8 years old.
Okay.
And he was really crazy about it, and he studied it ever since. And he became a professional trainer when he was 18. And what he did was he started out, you know, in like the youth classes, peewee youth, and worked his way up. And he studied. He has an education, a college education, but he's been crazy about horses and barrel mm-hmm. racing since he was a little boy. So he's the only person in Brazil that has the national titles for every category. Like oh, wow. peewee, youth, and in here in youth, they have different divisions, cool. okay, for ages. So it'd be like peewee, youth, teen, and then he was an amateur for a while, and he won all the amateur titles as well. And then he became a professional trainer, and he actually has won every title as a professional.
Wow.
So he's the only rider in the history of the barrel racing in Brazil that has literally won every national title since he was a young boy.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we are talking to the right person.
And now also holds the world.
Yeah,
the world record.
Agora você tem que reconhecer. Além dessas outras
títulos. E as pessoas, quando eu vi as postagens suas lá, muitos questionando, né? Como que ele faz viradas tão rápidas com as duas mãos na rédea.
Uhum.
Eu, desde os 8 anos de idade até os 13 anos, eu sempre treinei no pelo. Meus treinos eram sem sela. Sim. E eu passava tipo de 5 a 10 cavalos por dia correndo sem sela.
So, he said he saw when I posted his world record run about people talking about how can he make that time with, you know, like 2 hands on the reins, not grabbing the saddle horn and things like that.
Yeah.
And he mm-hmm. said since he was young, he rode without a saddle. He rode bareback, and he would even make like 5 runs a day on different horses, of course, not one horse.
Wow.
Bareback. So that he would have a good balance. So his balance in the saddle is really good because he tries to ride or did ride bareback for most of his younger career.
Well, there you go, people. If you want to sharpen up your skills, get riding bareback a little bit
and
more.
5 runs a day?
Yep.
Yep.
A lot of bareback.
Yeah.
Good to know.
I have a quick question.
So
who was his mentor throughout his life, like growing up and like getting into the horse industry that led to like such success? Like, so yeah, definitely want to know who he learned from and maybe like a little bit, yeah, about that.
Cool. That's a great question. So ela perguntou, quem foi sua mentor? Sua ídolo, que você sempre olhou? Quem ajuda você mais para chegar nessa ponta onde você está hoje?
Foi o Wagner Simonato, o Vaguinho, que ele é um dos ícones, né? Ele está uhum. na história do Brasil, no Hall da Fama, e ele me ensinou que sempre depois de uma prova, a gente zera e começa tudo do começo. Ele
ele
nunca me deu um parabéns. Nunca.
Deixa que eu traduzir isso rapidinho. I interrupted him so I could translate this, because I don't want to miss it, because it's really cool what he said. So there is a man here, his name is Wagner Simonato. He's an older gentleman, and he started running barrels when barrels started in Brazil, okay? And he was the guy that he learned from. And he said that Wagner never told him congratulations or good job. He said, after each race, he said, the next day we start again from zero.
Ele me falava assim quando eu ganhava. Você não fez mais que obrigação. Vamos para a próxima prova. E ele nunca me deu um elogio. A primeira vez que ele me deu um elogio, eu tinha uns 12, 13 anos, eu estava dormindo na casa dele, num quarto, e a parede da cozinha fica encostada com o quarto. E aí chegou um cliente novo e olhou um quadro meu de recorde de pista,
uhum.
e o cara perguntou, quem que é esse menino? Aí o Vaguinho falou, esse menino, ele tá dormindo ali no quarto. Se ele não parar de competir, ele vai ser um dos grandes nomes do Brasil,
okay,
do tambor. E hoje eu entendo que ele fazia isso pra mim me manter humilde, pra mim saber... E sempre depois de um dia, a gente tem que começar do zero de novo e provar novamente na próxima semana.
Legal. So, he said that this guy, he said he never told him congratulations or good job. He said the only time he heard something like that was one time he was sleeping at his house. He was sleeping at his house and he was in the next room and a client came over. And he saw a picture of Decio on the wall of all the titles he had won. And he was about 13 years old at the time. And he said, that boy right there will be the best ever as long as he keeps his, you know, keeps things going the way he is. And Decio understood at that moment the reason why he never, like, said good job or, you know, supported him like that was to keep him humble, especially mm-hmm. probably a young boy. He didn't say that. I'm saying that. But so he yeah. said... So Wagner, it was like, okay, you know what? You won today, but tomorrow you can lose. So you got to work again.
Yeah.
There's no letting off because you won. So you start again from zero and you work to win again. So and I thought that was so cool.
I'm curious of how much of that mindset that he carried forward into his training today. Is he still pretty like critical of all of his runs and looking at each one where they can improve? Or is it a little bit of a softer approach today in his own program?
Ela perguntou agora, um dia, você tem essa mesma mentalidade? Ou você está, tipo, mais, ah, não, está ganhando bem? Ou você mesmo, hoje, muitos anos depois, ainda acorda todo dia com essa mentalidade?
Existem alguns atletas no Brasil que eles vivem para ganhar.
Uhum.
E eu me considero um deles. É, eu não sei fazer os três tambores sem pensar na vitória, à noite.
Uhum.
Eu inclusive... E tenho tratamento com psicólogo e tudo mais, porque eu me cobro muito. É, eu não sei competir por competir. E o dia que eu não tiver mais condições de ser um atleta de alto nível, eu não vou mais competir e eu vou me aposentar.
Nossa, bacana. So, he said something very interesting, and it's very opposite of what you would think in the United States or Canada. He said he considers himself like a top athlete, and he runs to win. He doesn't run to compete. He said when he loses, he feels so bad, and he even has to go see, like, a psychiatrist because he's so competitive that he doesn't ride or run to compete. He rides and runs to win.
Wow.
And
wow.
The day that he cannot win anymore is the day that he will retire.
Wow.
Wow. Ooh, all business.
Yeah, all business for sure. Yeah. So, yeah, it has not softened up at all into his program.
No.
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 Amazing.
Ela falou, você tá mais novo e agora não, você tá ainda mais forte.
É, a gente se dedica muito. É, como eu tava conversando com você anteriormente, nós temos 60 cavalos em treinamento.
So he has 60 horses in training. 60.
Well, that's insane. 25
a 30 animais por competição.
And they take... Yeah, they take 25 to 30 to every race.
E competimos em torno de 50 passadas por dia, já chegando a competir 120, 130 passadas em um evento de 4, 5 dias.
He, in a, like a 2 or 3 day barrel race, he may make 50 to 60, and in like the week long race like this, he may make 125 runs in a week.
Yeah, see, I was talking to someone about this, and I'm like, okay, he's making that many runs, and I'll make maybe one run a month right now, if that. Mm-hmm.
Like,
how much more can you improve when you're making that many runs?
Well, and he wanted to include here real quick that he doesn't do this alone.
Yeah. Mais quatro treinadores.
So he has 4 assistant trainers working for him.
E dois só pra arriar, desarriar.
And 2 just to put saddles and take off saddles.
I was going to say, how many saddles does he have?
E quando chega um animal em casa, a gente dá as primeiras montadas e vê... Qual é o estilo que mais se aproxima ao cavalo? Tem treinadores que são um pouco mais calmos, pacientes, e tem uma mão mais delicada.
Uhum.
E tem treinadores que são um pouco mais ansiosos, com uma mão um pouco mais pesada. De acordo com o estilo do cavalo, a sensibilidade do cavalo, a gente procura, eu procuro...
Com essa pessoa certa.
Separar a
pessoa. So what he says is like, if you send your horse to him, or he brings a horse, he sees what the horse is like, and he said his assistant trainers, some are more calm, some are more patient, some are more nervous, some are more strong. And so he tries to put the horse with the assistant trainer that will benefit it most.
Yeah. That's cool.
E aí a gente separa os animais, revezando de 15 em 15 dias, eles correm.
Uhum.
Cada cavalo corre em torno de 2 provas por mês. separa o time em dois, o time A e o time B. O time A são dos animais de elite. Hoje em dia nós estamos em torno de 20 a 25 animais que correm 16.800 para baixo da pista padrão.
So what they do is they evaluate the horses every 15 days. And all the horses make about two races, because, you know, we run more than once, because our races are usually 2 to 4 days here because it's hard to travel. He says they have the A team and the B team. And the A team is made up of their elite horses, horses that run 16.8 or faster. And those are the horses that go to the bigger money shows. He said right now he has between 20 and 25 elite A team horses.
Oh, my goodness. E a tropa A, ela é direcionada para as provas que são as maiores, né? Durante a semana.
Uhum.
E a tropa B, as provas que são menores, que ficam mais próximas da nossa região.
Yeah, so he said the team A goes to the bigger shows where there's more money, and the team B goes more towards the local one-day shows where there's not so much to win.
So what speed is, like, team B at? Because I don't think I'm at, like, team D.
Ela perguntou, qual a velocidade do time B? Porque eu acho que eu preciso cavalo do time D.
Do time B?
Ela pergunta lá, qual é animal de...
De 17.200 a 17.600, mas hoje a gente seleciona bem em casa. Um cavalo que não tem potencial de correr 16, dificilmente vai ficar. Nós temos uma fila de espera. Então, o cavalo que não chega no nível de tropa A, a gente conversa com o cliente para vender ou substituir.
Ok. So, he said for his team B horses run between like 17.0 and 17.6. Wow. He said if they don't believe the horse has the ability to run a 16, they discard it. They cut it off. They talk to the owner and say, hey, you need to sell it or send it to another trainer. And he really selects the horses he runs. And he even has a waiting list of horses waiting to get into his training center.
Wow. I'm speechless. That is incredible that they're running that fast.
So are most of these horses in training to be futurity horses, a bit of a mix? And then how many is he actually riding in a day?
Okay, ela perguntou, vocês focam mais tipo de cavalos novos, cavalo iniciante, culto do futuro, ou mais cavalos de aberto? Porque ela falou que o Emla Bissemi, ela tem um pouquinho mais idade.
Ela tem 5 anos, da pequena. Ano passado
eu ganhei. He really likes futurity horses. He's won the title twice of our main futurity here. He's won some others, but there's one that's more famous. He even won last year. Quando foi a Peros, não?
Não, foi com o Fisher's Jones, 16.700.
Mas você tem de aberto agora também, tem os cavalos mais?
Tenho. Na verdade, assim, eu separo, assim, dos 60 cavalos, eu costumo trabalhar com 10 a 15 potros. É, no início dos anos de potro. Para que eu consiga chegar com 5, 6 animais de potencial até o
fim. Okay, so the futurity horses, he likes to start with about 15 head of like the 2.5-year-old. And then that way they can select it down to the best 5 or 6.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, you asked how many horses he rides a day. Quantos cavalos você mesmo monta por dia?
Ah, hoje eu quase não monto muito mais, porque eu tô quase sempre em prova. Eu tô de quarta a domingo.
Uhum.
Então, eu deixo a responsabilidade do treinamento para cada assistente.
Entendi.
Hoje eu tô praticamente jockey só, e quando eu encontro alguma dificuldade, a gente conversa sobre o que tá faltando e o que precisa ser melhorado no treinamento para.
Ok, he's reached a point in his career. And he's earned this, okay? It's not that he's always been like this. It's finally reached a point in his career where he doesn't really train or ride anything anymore because he goes to races from, like, Wednesday to Sunday almost every week.
Jockeying.
So he puts the responsibility on his assistants to train the horses.
Mm-hmm.
And if he has a horse with a little bit of problem, he just reaches out to other trainers or to his assistants to help. Okay, cool. Eu falei, você está nesse ponto agora, mas você merece para chegar nesse ponto. Não, tipo, você sempre estava assim.
Não,
pra
eu já cheguei
entender que você chegou aqui porque você merece, que é tudo que você fez antes.
Sim, eu cheguei a já montar 25 cavalos num dia.
He used to ride, before he got to this level, he would ride about 25 horses a day.
Wow. Começando a montar 6:30, parando às 10 da noite.
He would start at 6 in the morning and stop at 10 at night.
Oh my God. Wow.
He's earned it. Yeah,
that's a lot of work.
Yeah, he said he would only stop for 40 minutes for lunch.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And he's really skinny too, by the way. So
while riding that many and making that many runs.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
Oh, riding that many and making that many runs, I feel like you would be very fit.
Yeah, burn a lot of calories. Yeah. Sure.
Well, and let me tell you something. I've noticed this about the top guys here, and it's actually very smart of them to do that because I don't do that. I train the young horses, and then guys like these take them from me and go on with them. And to stay at this level, your timing has to be impeccable. Mm-hmm. And when you start really messing with problem horses or colts, you might have a little bit of that doubt. You might have a little bit of this. Yeah. And you lose that timing. I'm going to translate that to him real quick. Eu falei que eu vi que você e os outros faz a mesma coisa. Você não treina muito, mas para mim é uma ótima coisa, porque a sua timing, a sua sensibilidade é melhor. Se você monta muito puto, muito cavalo com problema... Isso, igual eu não toco bem mais, porque eu monto só muito fotos, nem tem cavalo de aberto, eu não consegue de ir, sabe? Sim. Então, o que você está fazendo, eu acho é muito inteligente.
Ah, obrigado.
Não, é verdade.
É, hoje eu fico mais preocupado com a tocada e com o ajuste do fino ali, conversando com os assistentes.
So he said, right, so what's really, really good about where he's at now, and again, he earned this, okay? I don't want people thinking, oh, he started to do this at 8 years old, okay? I mean, this guy worked his tail off to get where he's at. And he said now what he really tries to focus on are the fine points of his run. And if he has any little problem, he talks about it with his trainers, and he lets them fix it. So when he goes to make that run, there's no doubt in his mind about that horse.
That's so cool, like how it's just a big team, you know?
Team effort, that's for sure.
It really is. And there's not any real jealousy here. I never hear people talking about it. I'm sure there's some gossip here and there, but really, it's really cool here.
So with so many horses running through the program and him hopping on and his assistants hopping on, when he looks at a horse or even just rides it, what to him looks like it's going to be a top competitor as well as feels like it's going to be a top competitor? What kind of qualities does he look for in a prospect?
Yeah, to run those 16s that they need. Yeah.
And you're on a short time frame. So when you're on a short time frame, you got to be able to weed those ones out quick. And
I'm curious how they like that too. Good question.
It's a great question. Ela perguntou, quando você viu foto de cavalo com tal de potencial, o que você sente? O que você olha? Tem coisa de compromissão? Quando você manda, o que você quer sentir no animal? Para ver se esse animal serve e esse não.
Primeira coisa que eu analiso é a morfologia, né? Uhum. Assim, quando o cavalo tem uma morfologia... eu vou explicar para você a morfologia que eu acho que é uma morfologia.
Okay. First thing is confirmation of the horse. And he's going to tell me now, oh, sorry, there's a motorcycle passing by. He's going to tell me now what type of confirmation he looks for.
Eu gosto de um cavalo de lombo curto e uma saída de garupa bem arqueada, que é a fibra longa do cavalo. É ali que o cavalo mostra se ele tem explosão e se ele tem capacidade de trabalhar na velocidade máxima, equilibrando o corpo. É ali que fica a potência do cavalo, na parte da garupa. Uhum. E os jarretes bem para dentro, embaixo do corpo. Porque ali ele mostra que ele consegue se apoiar e se equilibrar em cima dos pés. E quartela curta, porque o cavalo trabalha com as mãos próximas do chão e os pés próximos do chão. E uma saída de pescoço, eu gosto de... Se fosse para escolher, a saída de pescoço... não curta e nem longa demais. Aquela saída de pescoço que... Como é que eu vou explicar? Aquela saída de pescoço não muito grossa e não muito fina, sabe?
Entendi.
E que quando o cavalo tem uma saída de pescoço muito grossa, ele tem dificuldade de movimentar o corpo. E quando ele tem uma saída muito longa, são os cavalos mais invertidos. Tem mais dificuldade de trabalhar próximo do chão. Sai muito pra cima. Então, eu analiso a morfologia. Mas não é uma regra geral. Temos animais com lombos compridos, com quartelas grandes, saída de pescoço alto, pescoço invertido, que são grandes animais.
É. So, first of all, before I tell you what he said about confirmation, he wants to say that this is just ideal. It doesn't mean that horses that don't fit in this won't be great animals, because there are some that are.
Yeah.
He said, but what he likes a short back. And he likes that the top of the butt, the croup of the butt, to be really strong and really round. Because he said that really demonstrates the force a horse can have, you know, when making a turn and taking off. He also likes for the horse to be a little bit cow hock, to have the hocks kind of under himself. Mm-hmm. And he likes that the front legs are close to the ground, like not a really long, tall front leg, because he said the horse has to work close to the ground. Okay. And he wants a horse that has a really nice neck headset. He doesn't want one that's too big and thick, because then it's really hard for that horse to work his entire body. And he says, and if you get a horse that's really high-headed, it's sometimes hard for them to get in and work and make that turn like they should make. It doesn't mean that any of these horses can't. He's just saying, ideally, that is what he looks for.
Quando eu monto em um cavalo, a primeira coisa que eu faço, montei num cavalo, eu pego na boca dele e encosto a perna, para mim ver o grau de sensibilidade que eu tenho que trabalhar aquele cavalo. Então tem os cavalos que têm uma sensibilidade grande, que você trabalha com uma mão bem leve, e com os cavalos que têm uma sensibilidade um pouco, não tem muita sensibilidade, você tem que usar uma ferramenta mais pesada, essas coisas todas. Mas o que eu analiso na movimentação do cavalo é a capacidade de elasticidade das mãos e dos pés, é a capacidade de trabalhar em cima dos posteriores e movimentar rápido à frente. E quando você procura um cavalo com uma constância grande, você normalmente procura um cavalo de índole boa, porque o cavalo que tem muita ansiedade, é mais difícil você controlar quando o cavalo é imprevisível, quando ele fica imprevisível. Então, uma coisa que eu procuro ver muito é o calcense do cavalo, né? O cavalo fica prestando atenção em você, e o cavalo que aceita a pressão que você impõe para fazer os exercícios.
So he said, when he first gets on a horse, the first thing he does is he takes the reins and he puts his leg on each side. He wants to feel the sensibility of the horse. How sensitive is this horse? He said some horses are really sensitive and some are not. Then he knows, you know, what type of bit he needs to use, how he needs to start to work that horse. Okay. He said he also tries to stay away from super nervous horses. He said because you have to work so much keeping them focused that you lose a lot of time, like, training them, okay? And he says if you find a horse that accepts your leg pressure and gives to the face like you would like it to, they tend to be the horses with a better character and horses with a better work ethic than a nervous horse or a really lazy horse. So he tries to find that kind of in the middle horse that accepts his commands off the bat and has a good character, because those are the horses that can take the training easier.
Mm-hmm. Nós temos um sistema de treinamento que a gente consegue tirar em torno de 80% a ansiedade dos cavalos. O maior ponto de bloqueio que faz com que o cavalo seja ansioso está na nuca. Uhum. As pessoas têm uma ilusão de que quando elas abaixam o focinho do cavalo para trabalhar, o cavalo está com a nuca solta. Você trabalha a nuca entre as orelhas do cavalo, com a sua mão bem mais alta. E você tira os pontos de bloqueio dele, o focinho alto.
Eu vou falar uma história para vocês sobre isso também. Eu vou te dizer. So he said, and this is really good because I know a lot of you girls out there have nervous horses, right? Mm-hmm. He said in some training he does, he's been able to take away nervousness in over 80% of his horses. Because a lot of times the nervousness comes from the pole, like the pole is blocked. Okay. So you see, they work the horses really up high. Remember how I told you guys that one time?
You lift
really
up.
Really up high. Yeah. Right? They lift up and they work the horses down low. They work the horses up high. And they try to stretch and make flexible the pole as much as possible. And what he's learned is by doing that, he's been able to cure nervousness in over 80% of his horses.
Wow. That's a neat tip.
Yeah.
And it makes sense.
A minha filosofia de treinamento, ela
his philosophy of training is this.
É colocar uma base muito boa de rédeas nos animais. Existem os pontos de bloqueio que fazem com que o cavalo reduza, com que o cavalo pese e com que o cavalo perca a velocidade no percurso. Então, quais são esses pontos de bloqueio?
Ok, deixa que eu traze there. So he said he's discovered... Quantos pontos?
São vários.
Desculpa. So he said there are certain points on the horse that you can work depending the issue of the horse. There's horses that lose speed in their runs. There's horses that, you know, have trouble maybe, you know, rating. And he said there's various points on each horse that they work and able to get that horse the maximum out of that horse. So he's going to talk about that now.
Perfect.
Quais são os defeitos que um cavalo de tambor apresenta? O cavalo que pesa e passa o tambor. o cavalo que antecipa, o cavalo que trava e sai desalinhado, e o cavalo, o cavalo que roda grupo.
Fala de novo, mais uma vez.
Quais são...
Pode falar.
Quais são as dificuldades e os problemas que o cavalo apresenta nos três tambores?
So he's going to talk about what are the biggest problems in barrel racing with your horse. There is the horse that goes past the barrel, the horse that anticipates and drops on the barrel, the horse that blocks and lifts his head up and takes a bit away from you and steps off the barrel, and the horse that throws his butt around the barrel.
Okay.
Então, só existe essas dificuldades que o cavalo tem.
Those are the only four problems with barrel horses.
Cavalo que antecipa, que roda a garupa, que trava no giro, que trava para cima e sai no giro.
So he said that. He said there's just these four problems. The horse that is heavy, like, in your hand and goes past the barrel. The horse that blocks and throws his head up and steps off the barrel. The horse that anticipates too much. He said, other than that, there are no other problems.
Yep.
Então, para todos esses pontos de bloqueio, existem exercícios.
He said, for each of these points, there are exercises to fix it.
Existem três pontos de bloqueio na linha de frente do cavalo.
Okay. He said, for a horse that blocks, tipo, a cavalo que pega o freio, a cavalo que fica preso no...
Não, são três pontos de bloqueio no pescoço. É a nuca, o meio do pescoço e a inserção do pescoço com a paleta.
Okay, so he said there's three places on your horse that you need to unblock before you run it. One is the pole, one is the middle of the neck, and the other place is where the neck ties into the shoulder.
Okay.
A resistência da linha de frente do cavalo tá na nuca. O cavalo, ele pesa, porque a primeira coisa que ele faz, ele enrijece esse ponto aqui da nuca e firma na sua mão.
He said the first thing a horse does when he's having issues is he gets stiff in the pole and sticks his nose out.
Então, a gente tem exercícios específicos de soltar a nuca para cima, para os lados, torcer a nuca para tirar essa resistência da linha.
So he has exercises to relax that, to get the horse not to stress there, to get the horse to bend high, low, to the side, and to not put that stress or that pressure onto his pole, which then leads to him laying on the bit.
E se você quer que o seu cavalo trabalhe com a ponta do focinho baixa, você solta a nuca dele para cima. É o inverso do que realmente parece. Quando você trabalha muito abaixando o seu cavalo, ele começa a tomar e erguer. Quando você trabalha erguendo, ele começa a querer abaixar.
So, whenever... This is so cool, because this works, you guys. So, whenever you, like, you see these people and they're messing with the bit, like, think about, like, a reiner, and they try to bring the nose down, you know, and you're working and working, and you try to bring the nose down. He said what happens is the horse actually gets tighter in the pole and starts to put more pressure on the bit. He says if you do the opposite and lift the horse's head as high as you can get his nose way up in the air, he'll actually relax those muscles and start to drop his head.
Grande parte das pessoas trabalham só o ponto do meio do pescoço do cavalo, que é abaixar o pescoço e aqui você cria uma ilusão de que a nuca está solta porque a ponta do focinho está baixa. Mas na realidade, só está trabalhando no meio do pescoço. Aí quando a pessoa toca o cavalo e o cavalo firma na mão e estica, a pessoa não entende, porque na cabeça dela, a ponta do cinto está baixa, mas a nuca ainda está dura.
Okay, so this is very interesting, you guys. So he said, a lot of times, people work just the middle of the horse's neck. Like, imagine, like, you're going around the barrel. And he said, so what happens when you go to make a run, you're the part of the shoulder where the neck ties into the shoulder and the pole, they're still stiff. So your horse is still able, even though you're like maybe having them bend and stuff, that horse is still able to take that bit and grab that bit and lay on that bit and get really strong because you've only worked one part of his neck instead of the three points.
Yeah.
And so how do we work each 3 point? Like the pole you release from kind of going up and then down. I'm curious about the other 3 points too.
Well, that's kind of hard too. So that's... Ela pergunta mais... Como você faz isso? Eu acho que é bom para falar do seu vídeo, porque é difícil de explicar aqui ao vivo. So he said, like, and even I said it, I said, this is a good time to talk about that he's going to put out a training video. And he has exercises to show all this, because it's not something you can just talk about and people do. But he's going to explain a little bit.
Perfect.
Eu uso um levantador de corrente para fazer esse trabalho de nuca, porque a perna, ela movimenta para os lados e para cima. Então, ela tem uma facilidade de movimentação para você trabalhar o cavalo com a ação da perna invertida para cima. No início, quando você vai soltar a nuca de um cavalo, a tendência é, a hora que você começa a erguer o focinho para deixar mirado na altura do céu, ele firmar na sua mão, pesar na sua mão para baixar, porque incomoda. Você vai alongar a nuca dele para cima. Eu quero que o meu cavalo, quando eu erga a mão, ele fique com o focinho mirado na altura do céu. E eu parar a mão aqui, ó, em momento nenhum, ele pesar na minha mão para baixar o focinho. Quando ele chega nesse nível de alongamento, ele perde a resistência do canto da boca. E ele para de enfrentar sua mão.
So, he said he does this exercise with a chain lifter bit with a loose curb strap. You don't want a tight curb strap to do this. And he says he uses the chain because you can kind of flip the bit to the side. It has a lot of mobility, that type of bit with a chain mouthpiece, okay? So you can lift your horse up. You can do all kinds of things with it. So he said he lifts his hand so that the horse's nose is pointing to the sky. Okay, imagine your horse with his nose sticking out straight, but all the way lifted like he's looking at God, okay? Mm-hmm,
yeah.
And he said, what you're doing is you are stretching that pole, and you are making the mouth more sensitive, not sensitive like injured sensitive, but what's the word in English? Like his mouth is going to be more responsive to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, light.
So once you get it to lift that head all the way up, and he listens to you and he quits laying on your hand to do that, then you can drop his head down and you're going to have a horse that is stretched through the pole, stretched through the neck, and is listening to your bit better.
Hmm. That's cool. And
so interesting.
Yeah, I look forward to those videos. So where will that be available? Like, will it be for sale online type thing?
Ela perguntou sobre a sua vídeo. Vai vender na internet? Vai...
Ela perguntou como é que fazer isso, né?
Well, his idea is that, you know, he just had it translated by me. Yeah, he already has it in Brazil that he sells it here. And he had a girl translate it. And he probably, he'll just put it online and sell it. You know, people can just buy it online. And then you'll always have access to it. You can always log in and watch the video. Okay, he's going to talk about one more thing here.
Depois que você ensinou seu cavalo a erguer ele e você parar a mão, ele ficar assim, ó, sem puxar sua mão, você tem que fazer esse trabalho também torcendo a nuca lateral, puxando como se você fosse levar o focinho dele no rabo. Eu quero que meu cavalo torça a nuca e
fique... Quer que ele fique quietinho, não quer que ele andar. Quer que
parado.
Ele
parado. A tendência é que o cavalo é que você vai alongar a nuca do cavalo. Ele vai querer sair dessa reação. Alguns querem empinar, outros saem de fasto, outros querem correr de lado. O cavalo quer sair do incômodo. Então, é normal que o seu cavalo, quando ele tem a nuca dura ainda, ele quer empinar, correr para o lado, sair de fasto, ou tomar, isso é muito, acontece com todos os animais, até você soltar bem a nuca, que quando você ergue, ele puxa você para baixo, porque dói a nuca, entendeu? Ele puxa você para baixo. Quando ele aprende a te respeitar, você leva o dedo assim, o cavalo faz isso aqui.
Ah, isso, as minhas cavalas são tão leves por causa disso.
Então, você ergueu e o cavalo esperou você, ele está respeitando a sua mão, está respeitando a pressão e o contato que está colocando no bocal.
So he said, once your horse learns to let you lift his head up like that, and he doesn't put any pressure on your hand, okay, then he's learned to respect your hand and your bit. Then, what you need to do with his head still up is bring his nose, like, to his tail, but he needs to stand still, okay? And he says a lot of times horses will rear, they'll back up, they'll fight you, they'll run off to one side, and he said that's really normal. But ideally, you want to be able to lift his head, his nose all the way up to the sky without him laying on your hand, and then be able to bring that nose all the way back to, like, his tail. What I tell people is, like, to my bra strap. So you have an idea of how high it is.
Yep.
Because what happens when I tell people this, they bring it, like, to their knee, what you see a lot. In USA, people bring the noses to the knee or, you know, a little bit. We don't bring it to the knee. You want to bring it all the way, like, to your bra strap, to your bra. So it's really high, what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And he says, once your horse can do that, your horse is stretched through the neck and through the pole, and the resistance against your bit is gone. And the horse starts to respect your rein and your hand.
So when you are doing this, like, a horse you've never done it with before, when you start doing this, how long typically do you think it would take for them to get stretched out and...
Ela perguntou quanto tempo normalmente demora para o cavalo aceitar...
Eu consigo fazer em duas montadas, mas porque é tudo questão de pressão, solta e pega. Eu consigo rápido. Em dois dias de curso, eu solto o cavalo inteiro pra você. Só que quem não tem essa sensibilidade e já pegada, depende muito do cavalo. Tem cavalos que são extremamente duros de nuca, e os que dão mais dificuldade são os que não têm sensibilidade na boca. Porque eles fazem força contra você, e aí dá mais trabalho. E tem cavalos que às vezes são leves, só que eles querem ficar empinando, essas coisas todas. Então aí o que eu faço? Eu vou quebrando pro lado primeiro, torcendo pro lado, e depois erguendo e torcendo pro lado junto. Aí o cavalo vai fazendo isso aqui, ó. Aí quando eu levo de frente, o cavalo começa.
So he said, you know, like with him, he can do it in one or two rides. Mm-hmm. But he said it's all really going to depend the horse and the rider.
Yeah.
And he says it's really important, like, it's about that give take. You know, when you lift the horse up, you're not holding it. You kind of want to give that jerk, you know, so he's not laying on the bridle.
Yeah.
So you're going to give and take. And he said some horses are really, you know, tough, and mm-hmm. some horses are really light. And he said sometimes if a horse is really light, they're going to want to rear up with you. So he said, in a horse like that, you're actually going to start to work the side first and then move to the front and lift it up.
Yeah.
But he said, you know, it could, depending the horse, depending the rider, it could take some time, but he himself can do it in one or two rides.
Yeah.
Depende muito da sua sensibilidade para ensinar o cavalo a sair da pressão, a sair do incômodo. Quando você tem uma sensibilidade grande, que você entende quanto de pressão você tem que pôr. E na medida que o cavalo vai soltando, você alivia, pega de novo, alivia, pega de novo. O cavalo cede rápido.
Yeah, and he said, you know, when you start, like if you start and the horse gives to you, you release. You know, it's that same thing we all know, that give and take releases mm-hmm. the reward. So it's really going to be the individual horse and rider. But, you know, it's something I do with my horses. It's really not that hard. Although when I do it at clinic, some people really freak out. Mm-hmm. Not going to lie.
Yeah.
E quando que eu sei que o meu cavalo está completamente solto de nuca? Eu alterno os lados dele e ele tem que seguir a minha mão. Ele não pode me puxar. Eu fiz isso aqui, ele segue a minha mão. Eu fiz isso aqui pro lado, ele torce. Eu bambiei, peguei de frente, ele abaixa. Eu peguei de lado, ele abaixa. Ele tem que me acompanhar. Eu faço isso rápido aí. O cavalo tem que seguir a minha mão.
He said the horse has to follow your hand. The horse needs to be looking for your hand, like your inside rein, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he said when he knows the horse is ready and good, he can lift, you know, he can go right, left, down, up, and the horse is just always following his hand. The horse is waiting for him to make a move with that hand. And the horse can be totally still, but you'll see him lift and turn and side, and the horse is just following him. And it makes the horses so light. And what he hasn't said yet, but what I'm going to tell you, is it helps to make that crossover so much faster.
Mm-hmm.
Eu quero que o cavalo em alta velocidade siga a minha mão e não entre no contato da ferramenta.
He said he wants a horse that's fast to follow his hand. He never wants the horse to have contact with the bit.
Várias viradas que às vezes a gente dá, eu não sinto o contato da boca.
He said a lot of times he'll make a run, he'll never feel the mouth of his horse on his hand.
Yeah,
it's not easy to get there, but once you figure out the techniques, it's really cool.
No kidding.
Então, depois que você tirou essa resistência da linha de frente, da nuca, você vai ter que tirar ela também em movimento. Mas antes, vamos para os pontos de bloqueio da paleta para trás.
Okay, now he's going to talk about how to block from the shoulder, unblock the horse from the shoulder back. Because he talked about the shoulder forward,
mm-hmm.
about how he kind of does it. And now he's going to talk about from the shoulder back.
Perfect.
Para a gente ter um cavalo que vire na velocidade máxima em dois movimentos, porque um cavalo que vira um 16 baixo, ele não dá 3 galões no giro.
Okay, so he said, for a horse to run a fast 16 on a standard pattern, they need to make the turn in 2 strides. If you make it in 3 strides, you're not fast enough. You're already too slow.
Ele entra perto do tambor e dá um rollback. Ele chega no fundo do giro e volta em 2 movimentos. É um para chegar e um para voltar.
So he wants his horse to go into the turn in 1 stride and come out of the turn in the next stride.
Oh my goodness.
So it's like a rollback with a bend through the rib cage.
Wow.
O terceiro tambor é o mais fácil de virar em 2 movimentos, porque é um ângulo de 90 graus.
He said the third barrel is the easiest to do it because it's a 90 degree angle. So it's the easiest one for the horse to make.
Mm-hmm. That's my favorite.
O primeiro tambor,
O primeiro
tambor é o segundo mais fácil, que é um 180 graus.
Qual? O primeiro?
O primeiro.
The first barrel is the second easiest one because it's a 180 degree turn.
Mm-hmm. E o mais difícil de fazer a virada em dois movimentos é o segundo, porque dá um 270 graus.
So he said the second barrel is the hardest one to make in two strides because it's 270 degree turn.
Por isso que para você, se você conseguir fazer dois viradores em dois movimentos, você vai correr um 16,7, 16,6, 16,8. Se você conseguir fazer só um em dois movimentos, vai correr 16,9 até 17,2.
So, this is interesting because I'm sure no one in America has ever thought about this. He says, if you can make all three barrels in two strides, you're going to run a 16.5 or faster. He says, if you get one barrel in two strides and the other two in three strides, you're going to be like a 16.9.
Se você conseguir fazer três viradas em dois movimentos, você vai correr 16,600 para baixo.
É isso que eu falei.
Você falou isso?
É.
E como é que você faz, você tira, porque o cavalo está com uma elasticidade no corpo muito grande.
Because like this, in order to do this, you have to have a horse that basically has like an elastic body.
Yeah. E para isso, você tem que trabalhar a linha de frente do cavalo, as paletas, o meio do corpo e a garupa.
So you need to work the shoulders of the horse, the rib cage of the horse, and the hind quarter of the horse.
É, o primeiro princípio seria alongar o cavalo. Colocar o trote alongado, acelerar o trote do cavalo para ele esticar a movimento.
So he said the first thing you need to do is like a really long trot, to get the horse to really stretch out in a long, long trot.
Okay. É, por que que o cavalo antecipa? Por que que o cavalo trava? Porque ele tem dificuldade de movimentar o corpo lateralmente.
So he said, why does a horse get blocked? Or why does the horse have difficulty to turn? He said, because the horse doesn't have lateral movement.
A dificuldade do cavalo, quando ele antecipa, é porque ele para o pé deixa de correr embaixo do corpo do cavalo.
Okay, so he's talking about also like a horse that anticipates, like he rates too much or slows down. He says when a horse does that, he's stopping his feet.
E tudo está diretamente ligado à nuca. Se o seu cavalo está com nuca dura e ele entra no contato do bocal da ferramenta, automaticamente o corpo bloqueia junto.
So he said, this is why it's so important to have the pole unblocked in the shoulders, because when that horse goes in there and anticipates that turn or really rates down, he blocks himself even through the pole and then will lay on your bit. He'll get strong through the bridle.
Por isso que você destravar a nuca é tão importante, porque o cavalo...
Why it's so important that you release the pole and stretch the pole.
O cavalo tem que seguir a sua mão e não entrar no contato da ferramenta de boca.
He said the horse needs to follow your hand and never, you should never have contact with the bit. The horse should never have contact with the bit.
Aí as pessoas, eu não sei como é que eles usam um termo lá, cavalo que tá duro de costela, essas coisas.
Uh-huh.
Sabe? É, as pessoas usam exercícios para soltar a costela em círculos, soltando os pés, essas coisas todas. Eu acredito que o melhor exercício que existe para você destravar a movimentação do corpo do cavalo é inversões de lado. Você trabalhar os dois lados do cavalo ao mesmo tempo no mesmo exercício.
Tipo,
reverso alongado. Reverso círculo junto.
Ah, oh, legal. Eu faz muito disso, mas nem pensei o que você falou. So, he said, a lot of times people think, oh, I'm going to, you know, get my horse loose through the rib cage, and they do like little circles, okay? And he said, but that doesn't always necessarily work. And the best way to get your horse to stretch through the rib cage and to get him more elastic through the rib cage is to trot and lope in reverse arcs, because you're getting like the circles, but you're getting the reverse. You're getting both exercises in one.
Esses exercícios devem ser feitos em trote alongado.
He said it's really good to do this in a long trot to get your horse to do, like, let's say you're doing a left-hand circle, but you're going to reverse him. You're going to do the reverse arc, but at a long trot.
O exercício de inversão de lado, que é um exercício que eu uso bastante, eu não sei se você conhece alguém que faça. Você está trabalhando no círculo e imediatamente eu quebro um arco reverso para o lado oposto.
Uhum.
Eu estou no arco reverso para o lado oposto, eu entro no círculo do arco reverso do lado oposto. Eu estou no círculo. Aí eu tirei no arco. Uhum. Tirei no arco, eu entro no círculo desse lado. Tiro no arco daquele lado. Entro no círculo desse.
He said, so one thing you can do, like imagine you're long trotting to the right in a circle. You reverse arc your horse and then you ask him to do a circle to the left. Because you see, then his body is in position to go to the left. And then you reverse arc him again. And then you go to the right. Kind of like a ziggy-zaggy or almost like a figure eight kind of thing.
Yep.
So you're going to the right and you reverse arc to the left. And then you ask for a left circle.
Yep.
And you just keep changing it up like that.
E quando você trabalha esse exercício, é imprescindível que o cavalo mantenha a velocidade constante nas trocas de direção. Porque sempre que ele para ou que ele acelera, vai ser aquela pesada ou aquela reduzida dentro do percurso de velocidade.
So, and he said what's going to happen is you're going to see that your horse cannot maintain the cadence of that trot. He's going to break down or he's going to speed up. And he says those are going to be the same problems you have when you're running the barrels. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So he said when you're reverse arcing and changing directions, for a horse to maintain the velocity and to do the exercise without speeding up and without slowing down takes balance and will make your horse elastic. And what you'll see is you'll see your horse start to get his feet blocked or he'll slow down or he'll speed up. And he said, and those are sometimes the same problems you have during your run.
Mm-hmm. And these are, because you're long trotting, so you have a little bit of speed. So are these bigger circles when you're doing these exercises and stretches?
It can be, ela perguntou, tipo, círculo grande, pequeno, médio, ou qualquer?
Círculo pequeno. Um círculo, uns 5 metros de circunferência.
É pequeno. Small circle.
Eu não um círculo muito grande, porque eu quero fazer trocas de direção rápidas.
So he said he doesn't do a very big circle because you want to change directions quickly. You want that horse always moving, bending, changing. Okay. So you do it in a pretty small circle.
Okay. Good to know. Oh, we have lots of new tricks to try.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Awesome. Maybe tomorrow we'll do some of them. I got a girl coming here. I'll have her film.
Oh, that would be awesome. That'd be awesome. We can release a little video with this episode.
Yeah. And then you'll have to give us a link to that video once it is available in English.
Yeah, we can promote that too.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Ela falou quando o seu vídeo está pronto, eles vão promover.
Me ajudar. Mm-hmm. Muito obrigado, agradeço.
He said thank you very, very much.
Mm-hmm. E assim, a gente está só num ponto ainda do...
Okay, he said we still haven't got to the butt of the horse, girl.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. No, let's keep going. Let's keep We're going. Just too excited.
Yeah, this is awesome. We're sold already.
E voltando naquela parte da questão da movimentação do cavalo. O que é um cavalo bem solto, movimentação? É aquele cavalo que ele não tem dificuldade de trabalhar cruzando e empurrando os pés embaixo do corpo. Eu quero que o meu cavalo alongue o máximo que der um pé em cima do outro e embaixo do corpo. Hoje, um cavalo de tambor, ele não pode parar o pé. Ele tem que cruzar e empurrar.
So he said, what's really important is, you know, you really need the horse to be able to stretch out, cross over his feet, and to really get his hip under him to work. Because he said, in today's barrel racing, at least here, that horse cannot slow down. There cannot be rate. The horse must keep moving.
E por que que a gente tem que manter a velocidade constante e sempre que ele reduzir, você estimula? E para de estimular, e sempre que ele acelerar, você reduz. Ele entrou no trote, imediatamente se alonga e mantém ele no trote. Ele precisa aprender que, em hipótese nenhuma, ele vai parar de prestar atenção no serviço para prestar atenção em quem está montado. Uhum. Então, nos exercícios, por mais simples que sejam, eles precisam sempre estar com uma velocidade constante. Porque fica na cabeça dele, o tempo inteiro, se manter naquela velocidade, prestando atenção na movimentação e não em quem está montado.
Entendi. So this is really cool and interesting. He said it's really important when you're doing any exercise that your horse maintains cadence. Because if a horse is slowing down or speeding up, most of the time he's paying attention to who's riding him. And if a horse can do the exercises and maintain cadence, the horse is paying attention to the exercise. And that makes the horse better.
Hmm.
That's pretty interesting. I never thought of it like that.
Yeah, that is really cool.
I work a lot on cadence, but I never thought about it as like, oh, my horse isn't paying attention to me. He's paying attention to the work I'm asking.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool perspective.
Yeah, it is.
Eu falei pra ela, sei, eu sempre trabalhei essa coisa de mesmo velocidade, mesmo devagar, rápido. Eu tinha básico de hipismo clássico. E eu falei pra ela, sei, eu sempre trabalhei isso, mas eu nunca pensei, okay, você falou. Tipo, assim, ele está pensando no trabalho e não eu.
Sim.
É muito exatamente. Bacana esse pensamento.
Por quê? Porque quando você está no percurso em velocidade, 90% das passadas você tem que mudar um pouco de direção. Ou que você entra um pouquinho perto, demais, um pouquinho longe.
Uhum.
Então, o cavalo ali precisa estar na mesma velocidade que você passou a fotocela, ele tem que continuar. Então, ele não pode, em hipótese nenhuma, quando você muda ele de direção, ele parar de prestar atenção. Na corrida dele, para prestar atenção em você.
Nossa, muito legal. Entendi. So this is really cool what he just said. He said, at the level that they're at today, that horse has to cross the timer at that speed and cross the timer again at the same speed. So at that level of speed, if you have to move your horse, and he said, every horse you have to help a little bit. You have to help them in their direction, okay? And he said, if that horse, even for one moment, stops to think about his job and pays attention to you, then you've lost time.
Yeah.
So you need to be able to move your horse without that horse losing focus on his job. And that's what these exercises do.
That is
pretty cool,
really,
isn't it?
That, I'm like definitely speechless because that is so cool. Like, I've read stuff where it's like every time you touch the bit, it's like a 0.01 second off your time or whatever, right? But you don't think of it in the perspective of what your horse is actually thinking. So that is.
Yeah, ela também legal essa perspectiva.
Quando o cavalo para de prestar atenção na corrida que ele está fazendo para prestar atenção em você, ele já desligou do serviço. Alguma coisa de imprevisto vai acontecer na passada.
So he said, if you ever have to, you know, and like he said, you can move your horse, but when you do, the horse needs to still be thinking about the job and not you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he said, anytime your horse, again, I'm just repeating myself here, but anytime he said that horse stops paying attention to the work and pays attention to you, something's going to happen in your run. Something bad is going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, the horse is going to go by, the horse is going to drop, the horse is going to hit a barrel. So he said, even like most of the time when there's an error in the run, a lot of times it's because of this.
Yeah.
Eu quero poder mudar ele de direção se eu errei um ponto de largada, se eu errei um ponto de entrada, e ele o tempo inteiro está correndo para frente prestando atenção no serviço. Nunca em mim que estou mudando de direção. Por isso que o exercício de inversão é tão importante. Porque se ele conseguisse manter uma velocidade constante nessas trocas de direção, ele está acompanhando o movimento da sua mão, então ele está sendo normal mudado.
Yeah, he said, so these exercises, like all these reverse arcs at a fast trot, também galope, pode fazer galope.
Não, tem como fazer esse galope. Você está no círculo aqui, você vai jogar no arco para lá, ele tem que jogar essa mão, ele cai. Mas eu vou explicar o exercício de inversão.
Awesome. So he said, this exercise about the reverse arcs, you need to really do it just at a long fast trot. Because I asked him, I said, well, can we do it at a lope? And he said, well, it's really hard because your horse is going to have to change directions and he's liable to stumble and fall. So he said, just do lots and lots of long trots with the reverse arcs. And quick, we're not talking about just lazy circles.
E esse exercício, ele alonga muito a movimentação do cavalo. Porque eu estou no circo e eu estou trabalhando a mão e o pé de dentro no circo, alongando aqui no circo.
Uh-huh.
Quando eu jogo ele no arco reverso para o lado oposto, ele é obrigado a encurtar a mão e o pé do lado esquerdo.
So he said, say you're going to a circle to the left, okay? And the horse is reaching out with that inside foot, right? And that inside leg.
Yep.
He said, when you ask him to reverse, he has to automatically shorten that inside part, that inside leg and inside hind foot, and stretch out the other side. So he said, you are stretching and working both sides with the same exercise, and you're teaching the horse to go from long to short, and
they're working,
and to
working
be able
their
to do
mind,
it.
Their mind too. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you're kind of working on everything.
Yeah.
Se você tem um cavalo que você num círculo de trote alongado, você joga ele de direção, ele consegue encolher, alongar na mesma velocidade sem reduzir, você vai ter um cavalo no percurso que não vai travar.
He said, if you can do that, if you can get your horse to do this exercise, you will find that you will have a horse that in your run, he will never block on you. We say blocked in Portuguese. I don't know if this is the right word, but like a horse that gets stiff, he'll never get stiff on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Can't wait to try
sorry.
These.
And
me
if
too.
I say a word that y'all don't understand, please tell me because sometimes I do get the languages mixed up, okay?
No, it's and, made sense so far.
Yeah.
So he says, if you get your horse to be able to do this exercise, he will never get stiff on you. He will never block on you during a run.
And just like you said,
dá muito bom senso esses exercícios que você está falando.
Ah, que legal. Isso não é suficiente.
But he said, that's not enough, girl. Not enough.
Okay, keep I'm going. Excited. I'm excited to hear
keep
more.
Keep going. You keep. We're just gonna just sit here and joke
all up. We're
enjoying our clinic.
Agora eu vou aumentar o grau de dificuldade do exercício.
Uh-huh.
Eu vou trabalhar a nuca do meu cavalo junto no exercício de inversão. Erguer o focinho.
Ah, essa é bacana.
Erguer o focinho em círculo aqui, ó, e sair no arco reverso com o focinho alto. Saí com o arco reverso com o focinho alto, eu já pego aqui, ó, eu reúno embaixo. Reúno embaixo, jogo, aí eu tô embaixo no arco reverso pra cá. Eu entro no círculo do lado do arco reverso. Já ergo o focinho. Ergo o focinho, Eu quero alongar a nuca do meu cavalo.
So, remember the exercise we talked about earlier about lifting the horse's head up and then maybe back to your bra and, you know, being like this little elastic necked horse? He said, now you need to do it at the long trot, the fast long trot, without slowing down, without speeding up, and in your reverse arc.
Okay.
So you'll be like trot, making a long trot, circling to the left, okay?
Yeah.
And then let's say you reverse the R team in that left circle. Then you need to lift his nose to the ceiling, and then you need to bring his nose to your bra strap, and then you need to bring his nose to his shoulder, and he should be able to do all of that while maintaining the same velocity in your reverse arcs and your circles.
Yeah. Okay.
Not easy.
We're trying to make the movements with our heads right now. We're like, up, middle, down. Okay.
And I'm going to tell you, girls, this is one thing that I talked to Desu about in his video, and I hope I'm not going to offend anybody here. But this exercise and this movement he's talking about, it is not easy, and it really takes a horseman to be able to do it. And so let's say some of your listeners go out there and they try it and it doesn't work, and we'll demonstrate it tomorrow. I'll find him, we'll demonstrate it, we'll get a horse or my horse, and we'll demonstrate
it. Yay!
This.
Yeah!
So I just want you all to know that it's such a complicated exercise, but such a good one. I don't want anyone to get disheartened or frustrated if they don't get it when they first try.
Yeah.
Because, mind you, this is like one of the best professionals ever in the history of barrel racing that's able to do this. And I've been able to do it with my horses now. It wasn't easy, but I've been able to. So I just want to say, one, this exercise with this reverse arcing and lifting the horse's head up and around, it's not easy. You've got to be a better rider.
Yeah.
And if you can't do it, you just need to be a better rider. There's no, my horse is sore, I need to get a chiropractor, I need to get a magnetic blanket, it's teeth, it's his bitch. It's not that. We need to just cowgirl up and be better horsemen and better riders.
I love
that. And you'll see, if you can accomplish a little bit of what he's showing, you'll see such a difference in your horse, you won't believe it. And I'm going to translate that real quick to him. O que eu falei? Igual que eu falei para você outro dia. Esse exercício é muito complicado. Não qualquer pessoa pode fazer. Ainda esses amadores que são meia fracos. Ok, falei para elas. Se você quer melhorar, se o cavalo não faz esse exercício, e...
Mas dá para fazer devagarzinho, ajeitando.
Sim, mas isso que falei. Eu falei, não fique triste. Não, continua. É uma coisa muito difícil. Você não vai conseguir fazer isso
rápido,
num dia.
Não.
Ainda uma coisa bem nova para eles. É isso que falei. Uma coisa muito específica, muito difícil. Mas se você consegue de fazer... Uma partinha, um pouco
tempo,
você vai ver muito, muito melhor. O seu cavalo vai melhorar muito. Aí eu falei para eles que amanhã eu vou achar você, eu pego meu cavalo aqui, e nós vamos demonstrar esse exercício para eles. Você
tá
uma...
Combinado. O que que eu quero?
Okay, one more. Now he's back to talking.
Eu quero que meu cavalo esteja num trote alongado, entrando no círculo, saindo no círculo e acompanhando a minha mão o tempo inteiro. Uhum. Imagina que eu faço assim, ele vai. Eu abaixo, ele vem. Eu troco de lado, ele vai trabalhar no trote alongado, no arco e em círculo, acompanhando a minha mão, fazendo isso aqui, ó.
He said, in this long trotting, you need to be able to do all these exercises without him slowing down.
Treinando pro fim do cavalo, tá?
And you need to be able to put his nose anywhere you want without him slowing down or speeding up.
Ele tem que me acompanhar sem pegar na minha mão o tempo inteiro. Se ele pega...
And he needs to follow your hand. If he gets heavy on your hand, okay, você faz, se ele fica...
Soquinho para a mão.
He said, if the horse gets heavy on your hand, you just give that give and take, like a little jerk, and then release. You know, so give him a little, you know, hit
reminder,
on the bit,
bump.
A little hit on the teeth, and then release.
Okay.
E até você parar a mão e ele se sustentar, esperando você soltar.
Uh-huh. And until he's just listening to wherever you put your hand, he goes.
Então, se você aumenta o grau de dificuldade do exercício de inversão, ele está o tempo inteiro em trote acelerado, mudando de lado, de cupucinho alto e baixo, sem parar de prestar atenção no que ele está fazendo, você tem um cavalo que ele não vai relar na sua mão dentro do percurso quando você for...
He said, if your horse can do this at a long trot, you will see that when you go to make a run, he will not lay on your bit anymore. It won't get hard on your mouth. And he'll work better because he's going to be focused in his work and not on you.
Yeah.
So I just have a quick question here. So if your horse is like slowing down or anything in this drill, are you using more so voice commands? Are you adding leg? Are you adding leg and taking it off? Like what kind of release are you doing with your feet to keep him moving and soft?
ela perguntou se o seu cavalo diminui velocidade. O que você faz? Usa a perna? Usa a bunda?
Usa a perna, acelerou, para, tira a perna.
He said he uses his legs to push him forward and then he releases his legs to try to maintain that, to come back to the speed he wants.
Okay.
So he uses his legs.
Ele precisa entender através do incômodo que ele está errado. O cavalo, ele aprende através do incômodo e do alívio.
He said horses learn by being comfortable or not. So when he does something wrong, he makes the horse uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So when the horse comes back right, he makes the horse comfortable.
Okay.
E, a gente, e aí, depois que a gente fez esse exercício, a gente faz isso no percurso. Trote alongado, sequência de virada sem sair do tambor, em círculo reto para frente, em arco reverso, jogando as paletas para dentro. Erguendo o focinho, abaixando, erguendo o focinho pra dentro, abaixando.
He says,
o mesmo exercício dentro do percurso.
He says, after he does that, after your horse can do all these reverse arcs and circles and lift his nose and put it everywhere, he said, then they do it on the barrel.
Okay.
A long trot on the barrels, and you do it around the barrel.
Okay.
On all the barrels. Like, you'll go around, and you'll have his head up, and then you'll have his head down, and then you'll reverse arc, and then you'll bring him back to the circle. You do the same thing, but you keep it around the barrel.
Okay. Mm. And you're actually, you're holding it in position around the barrel, like in one of those positions.
Yeah.
Like up or... Okay.
No exercício de inversão, o cavalo, quando faz as trocas de lado, ele cria muita facilidade em cruzar, alongar os pés e empurrar embaixo do corpo. Então, automaticamente, ele deixa de parar o pé. Quando ele consegue alcançar uma velocidade constante no exercício. E é a mesma coisa que a gente faz dentro do percurso. Quando a gente tem o reverso, tira um pouco a garupa para cruzar o pé. Depois joga a garupa para dentro pro pé empurrar embaixo do corpo. Vai alternando a garupa do cavalo. Vai soltando a garupa para fora, jogando para dentro e empurrando para frente. Soltando para fora, jogando para dentro e empurrando para frente. O cavalo faz isso aqui e aprende a empurrar para frente.
So he said, by doing this, you're teaching the horse to get his hip under him in the turn. You're teaching him to make that crossover. And then not only are you teaching him to cross over, you're teaching him to stretch out and to be long, like to leap, to keep the feet moving.
Okay.
So that the horse never stops their feet. Here in Brazil, they say that, and I know my English is bad when I say never stop the feet. their idea is those feet, those hooves, whatever, they cannot stop moving.
Okay.
There's no rating, there's no setting. It needs to be in and out. And
forward
so by
motion.
Doing these exercises, forward motion, you're teaching that horse to get his body in position and to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if your horse is stiff and unresponsive, you'll never be able to turn a barrel in two strides.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
He said, once your horse can do it, you start to do kind of the same exercises at a lope.
Okay.
And then once you're going around the barrel like that and you're doing the reverse arcs and he's really flexible and listening, because when you do that, you're going to see he really gets his butt up under him. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I do this too at home sometimes. And he said, then when you're ready to leave the barrel, you just ask that horse to leave and they just leave. They're just in and they're just out because they know how to handle their body.
Yeah.
And he said, so once you do this all at a trot, then you just do the same thing at a lope. You know, you do a little reverse arc, you keep him arced and you keep him arced loping around that barrel. And then when you're ready to leave, he follows that hand and he just leaves. But the only thing I'm going to say here, and I'm going to ask Bessio's question on this, is I know in the States when I did clinics, a lot of people train the square.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm going to ask his opinion on what he thinks about that.
Sure.
So, eu expliquei para ele. Você falou. So, nos Estados Unidos, que eu vi, a maior parte do treinamento lá, a maior parte, eles treinam de quadrado.
Não, treinam de rollback.
Não, mas eles fazem, tipo, essa primeira tambor. Eu nunca gostei disso. Para mim, não tem senso.
Eu gosto quando ela já cai no fundo e já volta.
That doesn't work.
Okay.
It doesn't work. It's too slow.
Okay.
He said, you want that horse to come in and bend and roll back.
Okay.
But not a roll back like, you know, I hate to say roll back because I know what Americans think is a roll back and I know what Brazilians think is a roll back. It's not an American roll back, okay?
Esses exercícios de soltar o corpo pra fora da garupa, pra dentro, você solta o meio do corpo do cavalo.
É.
Por isso que os nossos cavalos dobram muito na virada.
Isso. Esse aqui eu falei que o roll back deles é tipo o cavalo de rede, sabe?
Não.
So, what I'm talking about is, he said, these exercises will loosen up the rib cage in the middle of your horse. So when he goes in and he gets that hip under and he does what the Brazilian roll back, he's actually really bending through the rib cage.
Okay.
Okay. And so, so it's not a roll back like the American, you know, you don't want him to run in there and slide in and roll back. It's not that. It's just the Brazilians call it a roll back, but The truth is the horse runs up and he's curved like a C, and he throws that hip in and he literally bends his body and leaves.
Yeah.
And so you cannot train a square and be fat, in his opinion. And in mine, I'm not going to lie here. I'm not a big fan of the square. Now, saying that, and he'll probably agree, there probably are some problem horses that need to be worked that way. Mas, talvez tenha alguns cavalos que precisa trabalhar assim.
Tem cavalos que têm dificuldade de movimentar o meio do corpo. Aí ele vira mais em cima dos pés, né?
Uhum.
Mas, assim, um estilo que a gente faz bastante aqui, a gente faz de propósito soltar a garupa do cavalo.
Uhum.
Pra cruzar mais os pés. E depois encaixa de novo. Então, o cavalo fica com uma flexibilidade.
He said they work a lot, like... To work the horses. No, eles não faz isso. Eles não faz isso lá.
A gente solta a garupa do cavalo de propósito.
Eles deixam mais travado.
A gente solta muito a garupa. Hoje em dia a gente trabalha mais soltando a garupa do que encaixando a garupa.
So he said they really work the hind end of the horse as well. Like that exercise he's talking about, the reverse arc does that too. They want the butt of the horse to go out and in and out and in, side to side, underneath. So your horse is almost like a snake.
Okay,
your horse is like has this flexibility that you've got like three parts to your horse. You've got the front, the middle, and the end, and you can put any part where you want. And what we talked about here, we noticed like even with this square training, you are blocking that horse. You're keeping him too stiff.
Okay.
And when you do that, you stop the feet.
Quando eu falo soltar a garupa, em momento nenhum a frente para de caminhar.
Because he said when you move the butt to the outside, to the inside, underneath, the front still keeps moving.
A frente alonga também junto. Se fosse ladear.
He said it's like he said even here we work more releasing the butt of the horse than even the front of the horse.
The
like
shoulders.
They really want they work that butt to both sides because they want the middle of that horse to be so supple that he literally bends in two going around the turn so that the front feet of the horse are still moving and crossing over while the butt is giving you all this momentum to get up and around. Eu falei pra eles que o que você tá fazendo tá o cavalo tão tipo mole no centro, no, assim, que quando ele entra pra virar, as mãos continuam andando e o corpo faz a força.
Sim, exatamente. Como é que a gente faz pro cavalo soltar ainda mais a movimentação? Trabalhar a nuca junto dentro da virada.
É.
Trabalhar a nuca junto dentro da virada, pra cima e pra baixo, tudo. Shannon, depois que você consegue soltar tudo o cavalo, você pode pôr de galope lá e parar a mão. Ele vai estar esperando você o tempo inteiro.
É, meus cavalos são meio assim também.
Entendeu?
Mas uma sensação tão legal.
É lógico que é. Você para a mão, o cavalo fica ali onde você quer.
He said that once you get all this and understand it, the horse is so light and so responsive. And even, you can ask Dawn, you know, Dawn that was here visiting me.
Oh, yep.
She rode my horses.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I said, hey, lope that horse. Anytime you want, ask him to turn and change direction. Anything you want. And her husband were like, we've never seen horses like this. She said, anywhere I put my hand, this horse goes. She said, I've never felt something like that. And she's like, this is so cool.
So actually, one of our listener questions was, when you have a horse that's like seasoned or ready to go running hard, maybe one of these record-breaking horses, how many times are you working barrels or running that horse during the week? Are you consistently doing these and embedding it into its mind? Or do you get this so it's broke like that and then kind of like just keep it in shape? Like what are your kind of exercise plans when that happens?
Okay. And I think another question after this would be to ask him about the drugs and LASIK.
Yes, that would be a good one. Yeah, 100%.
So ela tem pergunta do pessoa. Quando você tem cavalo bem bom, tipo euros, os cavalos bem, bem bons, você mantém eles todos os dias, dá exercício todos os dias, ou você deixa eles mais em paz, só pôr no redondel?
Trabalham com uma intensidade sempre grande. Existe uma preparação, todos os cavalos trabalham essas movimentações todos os dias.
Uhum.
Eu dou duas a três folgas pro cavalo durante a semana, mas tipo, eles sempre treinam com uma intensidade grande. Existem dois preparos que a gente trabalha no cavalo. É o preparo aeróbico e o anaeróbico.
Uhum.
As pessoas, eu vi umas perguntas lá, por que não sangra cavalo, essas coisas?
É esse que eu falei pra ela, eu venho pra perguntar depois.
Tá. Então, existe o preparo aeróbico, que é de resistência, que é trote e galope.
So, he said, he works the horses hard, almost every day. And he said there's two types of training, the aerobic training and the anaerobic training. He said the intensity of his training never stops.
Okay.
He says, when after, like here, we've been here a week, okay? He says after a big race, he will give them 3 days off in a paddock.
Okay.
And let them rest for those 3 days, and then they go back to work.
E aí, quando volta, 2 dias de preparo aeróbico, que é galopar e trotar 40 minutos.
And then he does 2 days of aerobic preparation, which is trotting and loping for 40 minutes.
E aí, a intensidade de treino volta
at a, at, and at a high intensity. It's not just, you know, a slow trot or lope. It's any, the horse is working.
Any breaks in that 30 to 40 minutes? Or just...
The, você vai direto 30 a 40 minutos, não para...
No.
They don't stop them, no.
Okay. Okay.
He said maybe like if they're really hot and they need to take a little breath, it's just one big breath and then it's back to work.
Okay.
He said there's the work that's aerobic, which is the resistance, like to get the horse strong.
Anaerobic.
And the anaerobic work. That works the lungs of the horse. They actually focus on this anaerobic work to improve the lung capacity of the horse.
Que são treinos de alta intensidade de esforço físico. A gente só para quando o cavalo está realmente batendo muito.
He said they a course tipo o que você faz? Explica para mim, por favor. I'm going to ask him what he does here.
A gente exercita o cavalo até, sem parar até ele respirar numa intensidade muito grande. Mas isso você vai fazendo gradativamente. Eu quero que o meu cavalo Ele expande o pulmão. Eu quero que ele
okay, he wants that the horse expands the lungs as much as possible. So they will work the horse at a high intensity until he's got this huge breath, until he's breathing really hard. Now, he did also say this is something they work up to, okay? So don't take your little pasture pony and go out there and blow his lungs up, okay?
Yeah.
So, but he said it's something they work up to, but they will work the horse and lope him and work him until he's breathing really hard. Until he has that, he's breathing big breath, like, because okay. They want to work the lung capacity and expand the lungs of the horse.
Yep.
And he says, why do we do that?
Porque o ideal é que o seu cavalo respire só uma vez no percurso.
Because he said they want the horse to take one breath inside the run. Because that horse is going to run and hold his breath while he's running. So the horse needs to be able to hold his breath for 14 seconds.
Então eu preciso estimular o pulmão do meu cavalo a dilatar.
So he needs to stimulate the lungs of the horse to be able to accommodate for what they're wanting.
Para que ele respire o mínimo possível dentro do percurso.
Because the less your horse breathes when it's running, the faster it gets to my top of them.
That they
the
will hold their breath.
The less breath your horse takes, the faster it is.
Então, okay. A gente precisa dilatar o máximo possível que tem o pulmão. Existe treino que a gente faz também. Que é uma ou duas vezes na semana daquele cavalo que está muito bom, de começar a 40 segundos em alta velocidade em volta da pista, no pau. Você aquece 5 minutos o cavalo e faz treinamento de 40 segundos no pau. Eu quero, na velocidade máxima, de galopão em volta da pista. Eu quero que meu cavalo chegue a 1 minuto e 10, 1 minuto e 20 desse galope. Só que eu não vou começar com isso. Começo com meio minuto. Eu quero que ele chegue a 1 minuto.
E quantas vezes por semana você faz
isso? Uma vez só. Quando você faz isso, você só aquece o cavalo e faz. É um treino de explosão. Você para ele, anda a passo e leva embora. Você está explorando o pulmão do cavalo. Não é dia de treino quando você explora o pulmão do cavalo.
So he said, once a week on all his horses, com todos os cavalos, você faz isso?
Com os cristãos.
He does this on the cavalos que está correndo prova. He does this on the horses that are competing. He does this once a week. You warm the horse up really lightly for about 5 minutes, and then you run around the arena as fast as the horse can run for 40 seconds.
Okay.
And he tries to get to where the horse will go full speed around the arena for a minute and 10 seconds.
Wow.
Without slowing down or getting tired.
Nesse dia você não exercita ele.
And he said, on that day, you don't do any training, you don't do anything, you just do that. And then you cool him off and you put him away.
Eu quero dilatar o... Entendeu?
He wants that the lung of the horse is also supple. He wants that the lateral of the lung be able to open.
Não que doa o pulmão. Se dói o pulmão, o cavalo deixa de correr.
He said, if your horse's lungs hurt, they don't run.
Yeah.
Or they run slower. So you've got to condition the lung as well as the rest of the body of the horse, and that's one way they do it.
E o que acontece? Por que que eu quero que o meu cavalo respire depois de 13, 14 segundos? Porque é quando ele já está na reta final. Existe a fibra longa, que é a fibra, uhum, a fibra longa e a fibra curta. O cavalo, quando, até antes de respirar, ele só está usando a fibra longa, que é a da explosão e da velocidade. Quando ele respira, ele começa a usar a fibra curta. Ele perde a explosão e mantém a velocidade.
So this is really cool. So he said horses have a long muscle fiber and a short muscle fiber. When they take off, the long muscle fiber is the explosion. So when they hold their breath, they're using that long muscle fiber. So when they're running home and they take that breath, the body changes over to the short muscle fiber and the horse is able to maintain the velocity that he's going. He won't lose his velocity. He'll actually have the energy to keep it. He won't have the explosion, but he won't lose the velocity that he has or the speed.
I love how this is a science.
Me too. This is amazing. Down to a science, yeah.
Eu quero que o meu cavalo respire na reta final, quando ele só precisa manter a velocidade.
Yeah, he said he only wants him to take that breath on the run home, when he needs to maintain the speed that he's at.
Okay.
Quando ele só precisa manter a velocidade.
That's really cool.
That is really cool. Por isso que eu cavalo cool.
And he said, and this is why our horses don't bleed.
O preparo pulmonar deles é tão grande, assim,
because he said, our lung preparation is so important and it's so big in our program that it's really odd for us to have a horse that bleeds. It can happen.
Não quer dizer que não venha sangrar pro cavalo.
He said, no, it can happen. A horse can bleed, but it's really rare to see a horse bleed here because we focus so much on lung preparation.
Aí, caso sangre entra com Burgal, que está por exemplo, Burgal pulmomax, aquele citoflu lá.
He said, when they have a horse that bleeds, they give it an antibiotic, which is Burgal, which I believe, como chama Burgal in English? I can't remember what you guys call it in English.
Burgal pulmomax.
And it's a medicine. Burgal is the brand name. I can't remember the name of the medicine, but it's a medicine you give a horse to bleed so it doesn't get a lung infection, of course.
Okay.
And then we have some supplements here like Citoflu and one called Pomomax. Clenbuterol, você usa?
Clenbuterol, usamos depois dele recuperar pouquinho. Deixa uma semaninha para ela.
He said if a horse bleeds,
mas eu não uso Clenbuterol.
Para correr.
Para correr, no, e nem no dia a dia, sabe?
He said they only use clenbuterol, which is, what do you call clenbuterol in English there? It has a name. So anyway, because he said, even here when I said you use clenbuterol, and he was like, oh, no, Shannon, we don't use that. We only use it if the horse bleeds and he's in recuperation from that. And he said, we never use it day to day. We only use it when the horse has a serious condition. Because I know in the States, a lot of girls use it.
Just
they use Lasix and clenbuterol. It's
Ventapulmin?
Real quick. Ventapulmin. Thank you.
Okay, is Ventapulmin?
Ventapulmin.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
He says they never use it. I mean, and his face lifts up like, hey, no, we do not use that. We only use it like if the horse bleeds and we go into a treatment of antibiotics and things like that. Okay. Because here we have a lot of testing. Really a lot of testing, and you get in big, big trouble if you're caught. And he said, there are horses that do bleed. He said, here it's very rare to see a horse bleed. He said, one thing they do is they take all the feed and hay away 3 hours before, and they take the water away 1 hour before they run.
Okay, yeah. Kind of try and dry them out a little bit.
But they don't use Lasix. Aqui não usamos Lasix. É muito perigoso.
So, you guys don't use Lasix, but what about, like, joint health and everything?
So, eles perguntam agora, o que você usa para junto do cavalo? Porque nós começamos putos muito novos aqui, bem mais novo do que lá. Você tem uma coisa, você usa para junto do cavalo ou do potro?
Você fala de remédio, assim?
É, remédio, tratamento, uma coisa.
Não, o que a gente faz é assim, que seguir com a parte do veterinário... De, como é que fala?
Tipo raio-x?
É, o veterinário, a gente tem um veterinário na maioria das provas, né? No caso, tem vários, né? Cada um tem uma sua prova. E a gente faz o trabalho preventivo, né? Uhum. Começou a sentir alguma dorzinha, já radiografa e vê se precisa de alguma coisa. Mas não que faça pra prevenir alguma coisa se o cavalo não tem nada, entendeu?
So, he said they don't really do anything. Like, they don't give, like, children or... Adequan and stuff like that.
Okay.
He said they just x-ray the horse a lot, and every time we're at a big race, they have the vet check it over.
Yep.
And even like me, I x-ray my horses a lot. Really, like when every time my vet comes, like, you know, we start our horses at 2.5.
Yep.
And before I start them on barrels, I x-ray them. And then I x-ray them again in 6 months. About every 6 months, we x-ray our horses.
Okay. And yeah, you can see if the joints need any special attention that way. And I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of times you guys are probably dealing with a little bit younger horses too, so it might be a little more rare in that case.
No, and he said if he feels anything, any little thing off, they stop.
Oh yeah.
You know, and have the vet look at it. They're pretty good about that.
Definitely. And so feed program, we did have a couple questions on that. Would that be similar like grass and alfalfa hay, or what's the supplementation looking like for most of his competition horses?
Okay, ellos preguntó sobre su coisa nutricional. Okay, we say da por comida para sus cavalos de suplemento.
Ah, eu uso tônus e hemolitan para manter a massa hemoglobina alta.
So he uses some products from a company called Vetnil. And he uses one called Tonus. It's basically an amino acid supplement. It's a powder you put on the feed. And he uses another one called Hemolytin. In English, it's pronounced like that. And it helps with red blood cells. It's kind of like the red cell of Brazil.
Okay.
And they feed the horse between 10 and 12 pounds of grain per day, 5 to 6 kilos. And they give, he gives like a high quality grass hay to his horses, like a chieftain.
Okay. E uma coisa que a gente faz é hemograma a cada 60 dias.
And he pulls blood to check their blood levels every 60 days.
Se tiver alguma coisa que precisa fazer, entra com...
And then that way, if you see if anything is off, then you go into the medicines that the horse may need, like some vitamins or minerals. And that's something too that, and I'm going to say this again, and your listeners are going to hate me, but you know, I deal a lot with this paraplasmosis, trying to eliminate paraplasmosis in my horses so I can export them. Mm-hmm. And doing that has taught me a lot about liver health.
Yes.
And like he said, we pull blood every 60 days. And, you know, it's not an expensive test. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I test my horse's blood about every 30, 45 days.
Wow.
And you can really see what these medicines do to horses. Mm-hmm. It's like I said, these girls that give this Venopulmin and this Lasix and this Banamine, and maybe you're preventing bleeding, but you'd be surprised at what you're doing to the liver too. And I would assume to say that most of these people are not checking their horse's blood and liver enzymes.
Something we should probably all do a little bit more often.
Here it's very common, but it's, you know, it's not expensive here to do it. I don't know the cost there, though. It could be not cost effective.
I feel like it's probably $200 to $300 to pull blood and get a good analysis. What? Probably.
Yeah.
No, I got to tell him. Eu falei dela, para elas, que agora que eu estou nessa coisa de piriplasmosis, que quero expor mil cavalos, eu tiro sangue cada 30 dias, porque o remédio é muito forte nele. Mas eu falei para nós, não é uma coisa cara para tirar sangue.
Não, 50 reais.
Ela falou para eles, é $300.
Meu Deus, aqui é 10.
$10?
$10.
Here it's $10.
What?
Oh my gosh.
Then that's why we do it. You know, for us, it's a really inexpensive... He said, you all are crazy. I can't believe that a blood exam is so expensive.
Oh, yeah. It is.
No, demais. That's too expensive, girls. You guys need to go on strike with your vet. What the heck?
Our veterinary work here is very expensive.
Yeah.
How about let's get into the record-setting run and the horse.
Wait, before that, I just have one more question that was asked by listeners.
Yep.
What kind of extra therapeutic stuff do you guys do pre and post runs, like
like Magna Wave or any of that kind of stuff,
or even chiropractic massage
or no, nothing?
No chiropractor.
Talvez você já sabe disso. As meninas têm muita coisa. Tem capa de magnético. Tem várias coisas terapêuticas.
Sim.
Aqui tem pouco.
É.
E ela perguntou o que você faz nessa parte.
Eu tenho a parte de quiroprata, uhum. Também tem uma quiroprata aqui que está mexendo todos os dias nos meus cavalos.
Uhum.
E acupuntura também. E gelo, sempre que sai de cada passada.
So we do have a lot of chiropractor and acupuncture work.
Okay.
And he uses ice on their legs after every run. So, and he even said here at this event, the chiropractor acupuncture girl is working on his horses every day.
Eu tenho um veterinário exclusivo meu, uhum. Que fica em cima dos cavalos, porque a gente vem com 30 cavalos. Uhum. Eu tenho um veterinário só meu também.
He has a veterinarian that just works for him too, always taking care of the horses.
Yeah, with that many, you'd need it.
Yeah, that's what he said, you know. So he has, like, on salary, on staff, a veterinarian that watches and over the horses all the time. Yeah. Outside of the specific sport vets that we have here at the race that are really good. But basically, it's just acupuncture, chiropractic, and ice.
Okay. Ooh, and everyone can also ice their horses' legs with the new SK Fly Boots.
Yes, I can't wait for that.
Oh, that's right, the ice boots.
Yes.
They're ready, girls. I'm picking them up.
We're ready for that warm weather for, the ice boots too.
So you can use them?
It's snowing here right now.
You guys can just stick your horse in the snow.
Yeah,
you can
exactly
walk outside and stick your horse in the snow. No, Amazon de Canada. É muito frio. Aí eu falei, talvez vocês nem precisem de ela, só por seu cavalo lá no neve.
Verdade.
He said, that's crazy. So really, that's it. There's no place here where you can buy magnetic blankets. There's no back on track. Okay. There's no Magna waves. There's not even really any swimming pools or anything like that. Mas bem pouco. Mas é bem pouco. Não é comum igual lá.
Não, lá é outro mundo. Essa parte aí, eles estão bem adiantados, acho, na parte de...
É, mas porque os cavalos não estão em forma.
É, exatamente. Aqui a preparação é...
He said, there in the States, you guys are way ahead of us in terms of therapeutic things for horses.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you guys are ready to hop into the record-setting run, a little bit about that day and that horse, and maybe the pedigree too, we would love to learn a little bit more about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me ask him. So, agora, para acabar, ele está conversando do record. O dia que aconteceu, fala sobre a égua, o que ela é, a sangue dela, como ela chega para você, e... O seu pensamento de o que aconteceu.
Eu fui o primeiro brasileiro a quebrar o recorde mundial. Depois da
He was the first Brazilian to break the world record back
in 2015.
Oh, in 2015.
Okay.
Eu tirei a Courtney Duncan, né? Com a Miss Pretty Buggy.
Yeah, remember when the American girl ran a 16.6 here on that black Dash for Perks mare? But she was American. And then he was the first Brazilian to beat that time.
Okay.
And then I think Brittany Posey beat him. And depois a menina lá, Brittany Posey fez o 4%. So he was the first to break the record, you know. And then Brittany Posey broke it. And then acho que foi Sydney, não sei lá.
So in 2015, what horse was that?
Qual cavalo que você...
ST Taboquinha.
Oh, okay, boa. So it was a mare, and I'll always remember her because I always ran against her. I had a really great mare that was always right behind him. I was always second place behind him with her. And her name was Taboquinha, and she was phenomenal. She won everything. She's just amazing. If you guys can go on YouTube and find it, her name is ST Taboquinha. Her runs are beautiful, and she's just an amazing horse. Come on, pedigree, though.
ST Taboquinha.
Fisher Twine.
Okay, so she was it's Taboquinho. I don't even know. I mean, I know how to spell it, but it's just Google Décio Talon ST Tab, and it should pull up.
Taboquinha.
But anyway, so she is was a daughter of a horse called Fisher's Fool, which is the son of Fisher's Dash, no? And this stallion produced a lot of great horses but died young. And he produced like over $1 million with only like 13 foals. It was incredible.
What?
And so, yeah, it's insane. And so she was by that stallion and out of a Hobby Top Cody mare, which is a reigning horse.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, she was 4-time horse of the year. But interestingly, the mother of the mother is Brazil's number one broodmare ever. Her name is Cajuína. No, mas é Tapacuia.
De
Cajuína, essa aqui que fala. And so the mother of that horse was called Tapioca. But the mother of Tapioca was this mare called Cajuína, which is, she's a daughter of Shady Leo, which makes her a sister to El Shady.
Okay.
So it's just an interesting family.
Yep.
Agora fala do in love.
E aí, tipo, depois que vieram esses recordes, com esses de 2 anos pra cá que a gente conseguiu montar uma tropa bem legal, eu comecei a ver que era possível uma quebra de um novo recorde.
He said, once I started to see the 16 start to drop, because let me tell you something, when I moved here to Brazil 11 years ago, they hadn't really ran any 16s. They were like 17.0, 17.1, 17.2, and even before that, like a horse would run a 17.5 and win. And when they started importing all these horses and got really serious about their breeding programs, the times just started to drop and drop and drop. Mm-hmm. And he's saying when he saw that these times could be faster, he really started to focus on really being that fast.
Yeah.
O ano passado eu corri mais que metade do ano ali tentando buscar um recorde, mas
he said his focus over the year was to break the record.
Okay.
But there's another horse. He has another horse named EF Euros to Fame.
Ele é o mais rápido.
It's the fastest stallion in the world on a standard pattern. He ran a 16.380.
Wow.
And this horse is amazing. He is by Dash to Fame. And he's out of a Shady Leo mom.
Okay.
In fact, I think his mother is by a horse named Shady Brown, who is also a brother to El Shady, who is also by Shady Leo. For you guys to understand the importance of this Shady Leo pedigree here in Brazil.
Yep.
Yeah, this horse, Euros to Fame, he's always those fast 16. So his focus was to break the record with Euros.
Okay.
And then the mare happened to do it.
Yeah.
E aí logo ela sempre foi uma égua bem constante na casa dos 16.500 a 16.700, mas nunca tinha acertado uma passada perfeita.
So he said, the mare he broke it with, her name is In Love Fame, and she is by El Shady Zohero, and out of an imported Dash to Fame mare that actually ran in the United States named Cheyenne Fame I Am, which is Dash to Fame for Dash for Perks.
Okay.
So she's El Shady on top, and she's out of a Dash to Fame, Dash for Perks red mare.
Okay.
And he said she was always really consistent. She was always between that 16.5 and 16.7, but he never had that perfect run. There was always a little something that he could improve.
That could have made it just a little tighter and quicker. Okay.
Mm-hmm. E no evento em que ela bateu o recorde, eu não estava correndo bem.
He said that in that race where she did the record, he wasn't having a very good day. He wasn't making very good runs on his other horses.
Foram 2 dias que eu saí bem frustrado.
He said there were 2 days he was really, really frustrated and upset with himself. He wasn't having the race he had wanted to have. And he wasn't having, you know, he wasn't getting the results that he wanted.
Did he intend to set the record at that specific race?
Ela perguntou se você foi nessa prova para bater o recorde. Não.
Não.
A gente nunca entra nessa para bater o recorde, não vai bater. Você entra para dar o seu melhor, sabe? Você busca o recorde assim, analisando as passadas.
He said, how you break a record is you break the record by analyzing your races and preparing yourself and your horse better.
Mm-hmm.
So he said they always want to do that, but when he goes to run, what he really wants is to just be better than the last time he ran.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
Então, você nunca entra na pista para bater um recorde, mas você se prepara para um recorde.
He said, but you prepare to do that. Yeah. He said, you don't go in there to make a run to break the record, but you train and prepare to break the record.
Yeah, and ride to win.
Uhum. Então, naquele dia, a única coisa que eu pedi, eu falei, Deus, segure nas minhas rédeas, me ajude a dar uma boa passada, que ela era uma das éguas que eu tinha chance de ganhar.
Uhum.
Ela sempre estava ali na cabeceira, né? E quando eu fui passar ela, eu tava só pensando em dar 3 boas viradas, sabe?
Uhum.
Quando eu embalei ela pro primeiro tambor, ela correu demais até a foto dela. Então, pra mim não pegar ela de frente, eu só dei uma ponteada no focinho pra ela armar o corpo e manter, eu sustentei até a entrada do tambor. Quando ela acertou o primeiro, que ela saiu com pressão, a minha preocupação era na saída do segundo e do terceiro, porque às vezes ela tá estufando um pouco. Quando ela entrou laçando, foi um giro, acho que foi um giro mais rápido que eu já dei ali. O segundo tambor foi muito rápido, ela entrou de lado. E ela bateu no pé. E aí, a minha maior preocupação era sair na reta final alinhada também, porque às vezes ela estufava um pouco. Por isso que eu uso as duas rédeas nela. A rédea de fora é extremamente importante para alguns animais, para você equilibrar a parte de fora do corpo do cavalo. Tem animais que você solta a rédea de fora e usa a mão no pito, que o corpo do cavalo não desequilibra e não desalinha. Mas grande parte da principalmente potro, ele é um pouco dependente da parte de fora. Então, a única maneira de controlar a parte de fora do corpo do cavalo é com a rédea de fora. A rédea de fora, ela serve como uma barreira para levar a paleta do cavalo voltar mais rápido.
So, let me translate this. So, he had 2 days of not great results. He still had good results, you guys, but, you know, in his mind, he wanted to be better.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he prayed before that run, and he said, you know, God, just put the talent in my hands and just let me make 3 nice turns. Mm-hmm. Because this mare is really fast, and we just have sometimes she'll step off the turn. And he said, this is why I ride her with 2 hands, because he said, sometimes horses, when you drop that outside rein to make that turn, they tend to float out. And some horses need that outside rein to help maintain a little bit of balance. Yeah. So he wanted me to tell you all here that even though a lot of Brazilians use 2 hands, a lot of times it's just to be able to help that horse maintain a better balance to make a faster turn.
Yep.
It's not about them forcing the horse or them not having horses that are broke. And a lot of his runs, if you go watch his videos, he grabs the horn and he'll turn a barrel with 1 hand. But he said, especially with young horses or sometimes these horses that tend to step off, you need to stay 2-handed to help them to be faster, to be better.
To be balanced.
And so he said, I ride her with 2 hands because she has a tendency to step off. So he said she was running so fast to the first barrel and he was scared to get in her way. So he just tipped her nose a little bit to the inside and she just wolfed the barrel and left really strong. And in his mind, he thought, just don't let her step off the turn. Don't let her step off the turn. Yeah. And he said it was the fastest second barrel he's ever had.
Okay. Eu corro bastante. Tenho vários animais no ST. Essa pitica, por exemplo, são de mão no pico.
Eu falei isso pra ela.
São de mão no pico, mas tem animais que são obrigados a usar as 2 mãos. Porque as paletas saem mais alinhadas.
Essa aqui falei. Aí eu falei também.
Pede pra primeira, puxar, passar segunda. Essa pitica pra você ver.
É, eu falei pra ela, vai lá, entra no YouTube, você vai ver várias euros também. Você vai no YouTube também. E depois o terceiro tambor, o que você pensou? Né?
A hora que ela saiu alinhada, eu falei, vai dar marca, vai dar tempo baixo. Mas jamais eu pensei que fosse um recorde, né?
Entendi.
A gente não. Geralmente as coisas acontecem quando a gente não tá esperando, quando a gente tá frustrado e parece que Deus fala, não, hoje vai. E eu tava correndo ano passado, bati na trave várias vezes, assim, e naquele objetivo, e não ia aí. Assim, não foi com o cavalo que você esperava, e nem no momento.
No momento,
tava
bem,
não tava no momento bom.
So he said, she really has a tendency to step off the third barrel. And so he really was trying to focus on finishing the turn and getting her to run home straight.
Yep.
And when she did that, he knew she would be fast, but he never dreamed it would be a record. And he said, you know, these moments come from God when you're not expecting it. He said, you know, it always comes when it's not the horse you think it's going to be or the moment you think it's going to be. And it always, these moments of glory always seem to come after moments of frustration or sadness or difficult moments in your life is when, if you have faith, God gives you these moments of glory.
E quando eu passei na foto célula que eu olhei o tempo, falei, meu Deus.
He said when he crossed the timer and saw the time, he was like, oh my gosh. He couldn't believe it.
É muito baixo.
No, it's muito baixo. He said it was 16-13. He was like, he couldn't believe it. He thought it was wrong.
I'm just watching the run again right now, and then he got off after, and his knees hit the ground again after. That's pretty cool.
So cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he didn't pet the horse, right?
Oh yeah. I remember. Yeah, you'll that have was to edit ridiculous. That out. I think we should keep on.
Oh, I did. I seen some threads, and so I just could not believe it. No, and okay, so that is another question. How does he deal with stuff like that? Because there are the Betty Barrel racers of the world and mm-hmm. on the internet. And how do you handle it? Yeah.
So, primeira coisa, eu falei de sua fé, você fala que você falou de Deus. Ela só mesmo, quando assistia a passar, ele saiu de pista, foi no joelho, agradecendo Deus. Aí eu brinquei e falei, mas ele não passa a mão no cavalo, né? Porque você viu na internet que fala sobre a Sidney?
Nossa, que não agrada o cavalo. Moça, que alegre, os cavalos são paparicados.
Você acha que aquele... Ainda adrenalina, tudo, você acha que ele é meio...
Não, o cavalo nada, não tá
Então, ela perguntou agora, quando você vê essas coisas...
Em seguida, depois que eu bati o recorde, é bom falar.
Ok, vou falar.
Pararam a prova para medir a pista.
So, he wants to... Well, first of all, we were kind of laughing about the things people said about Sidney and everybody not petting their horses.
Oh, gosh.
And he said, you know, Shannon, you have adrenaline and you have, he said, the horse is full of adrenaline. The horse doesn't even realize you're petting it.
Exactly.
And he said, And he said another thing he said is as soon as he broke the record, they stopped the race and the judges remeasured the pattern to make sure it was correct.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm going to ask him again how he feels when people say and the other people went with the judges to make sure the pattern was an a standard pattern.
Yep.
Quando você viu essas coisas ruins que as pessoas falaram dos brasileiros, o que você acha?
Eu acho que é lamentável, porque às vezes você se sente, tipo, julgado sem conhecer um pouco da nossa história. Eu amo os meus cavalos. Ela saiu dali, ela já foi pro gelo direto. Depois, eu não tenho nem o que falar. Eu acho que, assim, quando você atinge um nível de conjunto desse, eu acho que a sintonia é tão grande que você não precisa dar um agrado no cavalo. Porque ali estavam os corações estavam batendo junto. Eu costumo falar que quando a gente cria um conjunto perfeito, que é igual o Avatar. Você se conecta com o cavalo. Quando você entra na pista e você não sente o coração do cavalo batendo nas suas pernas, é porque você está conectado, porque o seu coração está batendo junto com o dele.
Legal. So he said something really interesting. He said, Shannon, when you make a run like that, when you are so in tune and so together with your animal, your hearts are beating at the same rate. And he said, you don't need to pet that animal for him to know how you feel because he already knows.
Because you have said,
oh, I'm going to cry. Okay, I'm going to cry. He said, the feeling you have with that animal is so strong. He said, you don't need to pet them because they already feel it through your body. They feel the same as you. When you make a run like that and you have such a partnership like that, that animal knows what you're thinking and feeling, that you don't have to pet it because he already knows. And he said, I love my horses more than anything, my life with these horses. He said, as soon as her run was over, she got ice on, she got a bath, she went to see the vet. He said, she was totally pampered,
you
know? So he said, when he sees these comments, he says, and I feel the same way. He says, it's unfair because you don't know us.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know us here.
Yeah.
You know, so how can you say these things without knowing us?
Exactly.
So it makes everybody here a little bit sad because we don't do that to Americans.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
true. Yeah.
Definitely.
Eu acho que quando você atinge um nível praticamente próximo da perfeição, assim, a pessoa que ela fala que não existe uma ligação com o cavalo, que não dá o tratamento devido, ela não conhece do cavalo e não conhece do tambor.
He said, when people say these things, when these Betty Barrel racers say things, but he didn't say Betty Barrel racer, I think that's okay.
Yeah, so, I like it.
He said, when people like that say those things, you know what he thinks? And he's right. He said, they don't know horses and they don't know barrel racing. They don't understand it the way they should.
Bem da passada, a gente vê que ela deu o máximo dela e que não houve nenhuma precipitação de movimento nem dela nem da minha parte. Então, a sintonia, ela não se constrói só dentro da pista. Ela constrói com a afinidade que você tem com o cavalo fora. Um grande conjunto, ele não é feito só de resultado dentro da pista. Ele precisa criar uma sintonia fora.
He said, when you have results like these, you don't get them just by making the race. You make them by having the partnership. And he compared it to Avatar. He said, you become one with the horse. You have a relationship, a feeling. And he said, without that feeling, without us taking care of them and caring for them and being part of them, you will never get the results that you see us getting in the arena.
Mm-hmm.
So to say that we don't care about our horses because we don't pet them is a bit ridiculous. I mean, he didn't say that. That, again, is my words at the end. But it makes sense, doesn't it?
Isn't, 100%. And isn't there a rule that you can't pet above the shoulder in Brazil at a race? So then you're kind of used to not being able to pet them too then, right?
Yeah, because there's of what we call maltratos, a thing like the animal welfare, we have rules here that you cannot whip or touch the horse in front of the girth. That's why you never see anybody slapping it on the shoulder. You know, like in USA, you see the girl sitting it on the shoulder to run home.
Yeah.
We can't do that because of this rule, and we have that rule to keep the animal rights people off of us, okay?
Yeah.
Let me translate that for him. Eu escrevi, falei, antigamente, mesmo que quer passar a mão, a verdade, a regra não permite. Você não pode pôr a mão na frente de barragueira.
Não pode.
Então, vocês não têm essa costuma de bater a mão, porque talvez fique desclassificado.
Sim.
aí o Expliquei tem essa regra por causa dos maus tratos, por deixar as pessoas.
Eu vi você falando também lá no Facebook.
É.
Mas é o que eu falo. É, uma conquista dessa, esses resultados, não se constrói se o cavalo não estiver gostando do que está fazendo e se não estiver muito bem tratado.
He said, results of this level, you don't get them unless the horse. Unless you are a good partner with the horse and the horse is well cared for. Mm-hmm. So for people to say that, again, I'm going to repeat what he said earlier, then they don't know horses and they don't know barrel racing.
Mm-hmm. It's what goes into it every day.
The horse only gives you what he receives.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. That's like life.
So for these horses to run 16 twos and 16 threes, believe me, they are very well taken care of.
They are treated
I think they're
nicely.
Getting a little bit more than some pets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Não, mas foi muito bacana. Oh, I'm speaking to you girls in Portuguese now. Sorry about that.
That's okay. It's such a beautiful language, else? Though. I love it. Like, if this is so authentic. I think it's, like, this is really cool. I think our listeners are going to love it. And it's so cool to hear, like, how you guys speak and how you guys interact. And then, yeah, you can tell, even though we don't speak the same language, how passionate he is about horses.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to translate that for him. Ela falou que mesmo que não fala português, ele sentiu a sua paixão, a sua amor para o esporte, para o animal. Ela falou, é tão bacana que mesmo a outra língua, você passou para ela como a pessoa boa, a pessoa com muito paixão, uma coisa muito legal.
Ah, eu agradeço de verdade a oportunidade de estar falando um pouco, né? Eu espero que esse podcast mostre um outro lado do que as pessoas pensam, às vezes, dos brasileiros. Que a gente vive isso como a única coisa que a gente tem na nossa vida.
He said he wants to thank you girls very much for this podcast, for this opportunity, and he hopes that it will show the Brazilian side of things, because they live for their horses. They eat, breathe, and live this sport.
Yep.
And he's hoping that your podcast will show their side of it, and maybe some people will change their mind on how they ride and how they treat their horses.
Existe um estilo que não seja tão usual lá, que pode às vezes ajudar as pessoas a.
And he hopes that with his video, the reason he put it in English was to help other people. He said because maybe you guys can learn some training or some technique that you don't have there that can help you get better.
Oh, this whole podcast.
And to show the side of the Brazilian trainers.
Yeah, it was excellent. Some new perspectives and ideas for training for sure.
And I don't think that there has been like a Canadian cross Brazilian podcast with someone like him. Like we had you on and then now him. So it's cool that we're now getting to shed more light on like Brazilian riders. And like, obviously you guys are doing something right. So
yeah,
it's cool to hear.
Yeah.
And I think ela gostou dessa oportunidade para demonstrar ao brasileiro porque vocês têm os tempos e os resultados são bons. Eles acham bacana que ele de Canadá pode demonstrar para a norte-americana tudo esses resultados e trabalho de vocês aqui.
Well, thank you guys for sharing a little piece of Brazil with us again tonight. And we know that it probably will not be our last conversation. So, yeah, we look forward to chatting with you guys again.
Great. And whenever his video is ready, I'll let you guys know. It's definitely something everybody should have.
Definitely. Yes. Does DCO have any parting messages for the people of the Horse Poor podcast?
I'm going to ask him.
Okay.
Elas perguntam. Primeira coisa, elas falam, elas vão ajudar muito a divulgar sua curso. Elas acham você muito bacana por isso. Aí elas querem saber se você tem uma coisa de falar para as pessoas lá antes de desligar.
Eu gostaria de. Deixa eu pensar.
He wants to think about that. He wants to be good.
Yeah, for sure.
Tipo, em vez de julgar, que elas dessem a oportunidade da gente mostrar nosso trabalho. Eu acho que o nosso, para nós, fora do Brasil, a gente eles fecham muito, não sei como falar, oportunidades fora, e é difícil realmente alguém sair daqui para tentar competir lá, porque a gente tem a nossa vida aqui e chega lá, a gente vai começar tudo do zero e às vezes não tem oportunidade e às vezes a gente não consegue mostrar o nosso trabalho, por isso que muitos não vão.
Não sou isso, porque eu mudei país duas vezes, é muito difícil, muita comida, cultura, se aqui se não for para minha marido, eu não ficava. é muito difícil para mudar para ali.
Não, mas nem fala isso. Fala é que...
Não, não, né? Você não vai falar, mas eu tô falando com você.
Fala que, que espero que gostem do podcast e qualquer outra dúvida a gente pode fazer outro podcast, a gente pode respeitar essa relação com os outros países, porque eu acho que com toda forma de
conhecimento... É, é porque ele falou do... So, he, first of all, he wants to thank you again for the opportunity and for the opportunity for people to see again the Brazilian side and say, like, don't judge us until you know us and give us a chance to show you what we know and what we do and why we do it. And he would love to do another podcast if somebody wants. And he loves to share information and even him to learn new things. And basically, it's just that he's just really happy to show the Brazilian side, to show his technique, to get that you guys gave him the opportunity to show the world what he's about and what Brazil is about. And he's very grateful for that.
Oh, we were very grateful that you guys were willing to come on and he was willing to share all of his knowledge and secrets to success.
Yeah, I feel like everyone needs a notepad for this podcast.
Awesome.
Okay, well, thank you guys.
Thank you. You bet. You have a great night.
You too.
You too.
Bye.